LQ Radio, radio.linuxquestions.org. Welcome to the fourth in a series of interviews recorded at Scale 3X, Southern California Linux Expo of 2005. My name is Harold J. Johnson. Today we have two conversations, the first with linuxastronomy.org and the second with lamsig.org. The first conversation is with Eugene Clement.
And I'm Eugene.
Are you from France originally?
From Switzerland.
From Switzerland?
By the French part.
So how long have you been with linuxastronomy.org?
I'm the founder of the group.
You're the founder?
Yes, I started the group in, I think, 2001. Because I started it not official, you know, with no website at the beginning.
Well, what made you start this?
It's simple. I volunteer some time for some kids, and I needed to find a way to keep them busy. So by doing a website, at first it was not Linux Astronomy, it was their website. But by making a project, it was, suddenly they become famous, you know. They have a web page that says this, there is a picture on it, we are famous. That was very important for them. So it was based on that kind of thing, you know. It's fun, it's educational, learning something, and I teach them to recycle. One example is this, we measure temperature here. And the probe is here, every 2 minutes I do a reading. And this is a poor man data acquisition, okay? We use a digital voltmeter.
Okay.
And we use a serial connection, serial port, RS-232. We go into the computer. And this computer is a P190 megahertz, 90.
Okay.
So, it's like dinosaur, okay?
Yeah, and that's running Linux, I presume.
It runs SUSE 9.0, this one. So it takes forever to install it and configure. Once it's running, it's fine. And this is not critical. Every 2 or 5 minutes, I take a reading, so no big deal. Here is a seismometer.
You have I see a seismometer here. That's incredible. I haven't seen a seismometer since I used to work at Griffith Observatory, but as a guide. But
so
that's beautiful.
He detected some earthquake that had been verified by USGS in Pasadena. I go on the website when I see some big spike, we got an earthquake. I check on the site in Pasadena, and sometimes it matches very well, sometimes not, okay? Sometimes it's a trash truck behind my house, okay?
Did you build this
I built
seismograph?
It with two people, one kid, one teenager, and one another person volunteer with me in Santa Rosa.
I'm jumping up and down.
Yes, keep going, everybody.
Here we go. Together now.
You see? It's coming.
There we go. Me and another gentleman are jumping up and down here. The seismograph. And I can see the reading on the flat panel display here of our motion. It's visibly higher.
So you roughly generated, I would say 3.6. I would say you generated a 3.6.
Would it have generated higher if I was closer to the seismograph?
Yeah.
Okay. You have some amazing projects going on.
We detect the voltage.
So we have a volts reading.
Yes, in this case, I put it in the power outlet, the outlet we have for the booth.
Now, why is it important in astronomy to measure the voltage?
That's a good question. All these devices will be used for our remote control telescope, okay?
Okay.
We build this remote control telescope with the kid. And the stability of the voltage will help us to get better rotation, better pictures, camera will fluctuate less, you know, all this stuff, okay? And this, for example, we have to select a good location. We can use a seismometer, put it at location for a month, and we check what's happening. But also, once we have the location, we get some blurry picture, we don't know why. We may not know, as it's far away, there may be somebody building a house, or a road, or jackhammer, something we don't know. So this may show it to us.
So the seismograph reading would, of course, show you.
It will show us that something is happening over there. It's not, we don't do anything wrong with the telescope. The telescope has nothing wrong. Or it may show the telescope has a problem because it's quiet, you know, it's flat. Okay? And this is like I said, temperature of the mirror, temperature outside, is it frozen, you know, that kind of information.
All those can affect the optics.
Yes.
The
alignment, collimation.
Oh, okay.
And here I show, we have a camera, a webcam.
Oh.
what I'm showing here is that we have a bunch of camera at the location. We can check if it's raining, snowing, if there's bird dropping on the mirror, if there's somebody messing around or, you know, close nearby telescope. And then I show that we have the technology to grab the picture from the sky with a better camera, obviously. As I told you, I try to teach kids about recycling. We have older computers. All these are kind of, except this one, they're older computers. 1P3, 1P2, 266, the Pentium 90. Everything got sent to the server. And the main server is a Pentium 2, 266. And this information is sent on the internet. And we display it on our website. And you can see the reading of the web. The reading of the seismometer.
Oh, yeah.
The temperature of previous reading. And the voltage.
And that's right there. You can read a live, this is a live reading.
Yes, with 5 minutes delay.
At linuxastronomy.org.
If you go to linuxastronomy.org, you check for the menu. There is a big menu. You go down to trade shows and exhibition. You click on this.
Oh, that is nice. So you're teaching them about recycling by showing them that they can use older machines to run these things.
It, yes.
You don't have to throw them out. You don't have to take them to the dump.
It's usable, and we use Linux, and I do not put a window manager that takes a lot of resource. I mean, KDE or GNOME are great, but they take a lot of resource, so I use some smaller window manager. For the show, I use Window Maker, but for the kid, we can use something like FVWM, ICEWM, Fluxbox, Blackbox, you know, whatever. In my case, it's Afterstep or Window Maker. Now it's Window Maker. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever they like, it's fine.
Yeah, that's what I find. I'm new to Linux, and a friend of mine recently found an old PC in a garbage heap. He gave it to me, and I had no idea what to do with it because it wouldn't run Windows very well. And then I went online and I started downloading Linux, which is free, and installed it, and found a whole new world of offerings out there that cost no money, or very little money, if you know. For me, it hasn't cost me a dime yet.
One thing you have to be careful today, the tendency with Linux is to try to give all the nice feature of all the OS. When I say nice, I mean gadget, the paperclip, or whatever. Some people try to reproduce that kind of code garbage.
Yeah. I mean, one man's garbage is another man's treasure.
Absolutely. So, you may not want to install all the stuff. If you have an older machine, try to install what you need for your work, and then you have the greatest distribution.
I think that's some good advice for
Linux. Are you guys familiar with the Linux terminal server?
Yes, and I did run it last year, actually. I run it at home.
Well, for him, he's
I'm not actually.
I'm new to it. Stop at the guy right there with the black T-shirt on.
Okay.
Black shirt on this side.
It's the last booth.
His setup, he's doing, you'll be interested in what that is. We just got an old machine. You could just have one good server and use all the old machines.
I installed it.
On a really old machine. But you know what?
But
it's about that.
What you're just saying. Make sure you stop there and talk to Tim.
Yes, I agree with you. Yeah. Typically, I put it in a few schools. And what you do, you have one machine that is more powerful than the rest. So the most powerful you can get, you put as much memory as you can. And then you have all the other machines, can be 486 or Pentium 90, 133, whatever, use them as we call it thin client. What they do, they just display the data. So if you do a big calculation or heavy intensive CPU application, all these cycles are done on the server. And the data is displayed on a thin client, on a screen. So it's like a screen that displays what you want, but it does not compute.
Yeah, yeah. I just spent an hour down here, so I was impressed. So.
And it works very well. Huh? I installed it a few times. It really is.
Well, I really appreciate you showing me this, Eugene. Thank you for talking to me today. David, okay, I'm Harold. Yep. This is Zampix.
Zampix.
Yeah.
Okay, this would run a kiosk?
That's
designed to be a kiosk.
Yeah. As small as 128 meg of RAM with a CD drive, this will boot up into Firefox.
Right.
And you put your website onto the hard drive in a particular directory. This will find it and display it.
This is a whole Zampix here that you just showed me. It's a whole self-contained.
You know, get your Linux on a self-contained on a CD with PHP and MySQL Apache and whatever application you might want on a CD.
Well, that is incredible.
You can. Get it all going, and then recreate the CD with your stuff, customizations on it.
Yeah, actually, this computer, that's what he's showing here. Here's a little,
right.
This is Xamp, and then, you know, it's got a bunch of demos here, like you know, a little Ming app, and you can put whatever you want on one of these CDs. So, I mean, there's really not a whole lot to it, but it's great if you're trying to get going, and a lot of people are sort of afraid of trying to get Apache, MySQL, and PHP all set up in Linux.
It took me a day.
Seriously.
Part of it was installing the operating system. I was going with Fedora Core 2, the Red Hat community thing that's, you don't have to pay for it. And so then I had to install Apache. Then I had to install MySQL. Then I had to install, and it's still the case that when I boot up the computer, I have to go and start the database by hand. I have to start Apache by hand because I haven't done the two steps it takes to make it start those automatically.
This is for people that can't get over that hump of even getting, you know, Linux running. This is based on Nopix.
You can
Nopix
have a
project.
Windows box, put that in and reboot off the CD, and you'll be up in Linux with Apache.
What I'd like to do is I'd like to set up my website. I use multimedia, but I have an internet radio site and a podcast site, and that's why I kind of do the recording. What I'd like to do is set up a website and distribute it on CD to people so that they can just run it on their PCs.
Right, and that's what this would be good for.
That way they don't have to mess with
because,
their DLL
because
settings.
You can reauthor this thing, and that's why I just showed you the fact that there's this little app. There's a whole bunch of little apps here that, you know, these are LAMP apps that have been written. That could be your LAMP app. Your CD could be just your LAMP app with one menu choice. Person sticks their CD in, their PC, and it runs. And
what a great way to demonstrate a project you're working on. What I'm looking at here is the demonstration site is actually a Flash. You have a Flash file here, or Flash. It's actually an HTML file with Flash
that's
inserted.
Just showing the Ming project, which is, you know, PHP's ability to generate Flash from PHP.
And it's using PHP and Ming, which I've never actually heard of.
Yeah, Ming is that. That's the project that renders Flash from PHP. You know, PHP's server-side language runs on servers, so. This ability to do things is, I guess, for those people that are really into Flash, it's giving them new opportunities to do stuff.
I'm just learning Flash, so this is great.
Yeah.
And it's also, it brings to mind, see, I'm pretty ignorant of a lot of, I don't know anything about programming, or very little, I should say, and I'm just learning. One of my goals is to learn PHP. This is great for people like me who don't really know anything about it, and you want to demonstrate to you're working on a project, and you want to demonstrate to them, well, this is what PHP can do. This is how it can drive your site. And they're, like I said before, they're too afraid to install it, or, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We've already covered that ground. But
or they can't. You know, it's also good for people that...
Or they can't.
They want to start developing, and they haven't had an opportunity to yet, and this is a way of getting all this stuff up, and then they just start editing some PHP files, and they can start programming and learning how to program. Or look at the source code of these projects.
Well,
they're all on the CD. Our particular organization, we're just a general LAMP, you know, development special interest group.
Do you guys meet? Do you
yeah,
have a
it's called LAMPSIG, lampsig.org.
Okay.
We're here in LA. We have monthly meetings every third Saturday of the month. We have a meeting and we talk about MySQL development, PHP development, you know, doing interactive websites.
How long have you guys been doing this?
We're a little over a year old now, and we have also free Tuesday night classes for people that are interested. We're on our second 3-month cycle of that. Every Tuesday night we have these free classes and teach people how to do this stuff.
Are you guys always in the same location every time?
Same location, which is on Hoover Street. Near MacArthur Park.
Right. Great. This is fantastic. I'll have to drop in sometime.
Yeah, so this is just one thing. We're just demonstrating this. This would really be go to XAMPP project, go to Nopix. That's where you get the tools to be able to master any kind of CD you want. It's just showing that, you know, somebody's already done this for LAMP. LAMP is really driving Linux adoption. It's been driving Linux adoption for a bunch of years now, in my opinion, you know. Linux wouldn't be where it's at if it wasn't for Apache. You know, Apache was the app that really made people start to want to use Linux versus Solaris and all the other Unix operating systems that it resembles.
Right, right.
And it wasn't the free thing. It was that Apache runs better than IIS, the main competition. And now, you know, you look at a lot of the biggest websites on the web, SourceForge, Slashdot, you know, you can go down and get look at a lot of websites that people are using, a lot of the big blogging websites. I see you guys are doing something with blogging. And
yeah, I just started using the open source WordPress to drive my blog.
Interestingly enough, I'm part of this project Serendipity, which we're a big competitor to WordPress. WordPress is a great product, but we think that Serendipity is a little bit better.
And it's open source as well, you say?
They're both the same technology. They're both based on PHP, MySQL, and I mean, there's a lot of people and big people that have been, you know, major contributors to PHP in general that have been part of Serendipity project. And it's, you know, we're a little bit newer, so we're still at, you know, 0.07 is the official release, just about to release 0.08. But there's a lot of things in there that aren't in a lot of the other blogging softwares, and it's got a great module structure for extending. If you're trying to do something, the blogging plus something.
So Serendipity, I can Google that, but what is the, is there a URL for that?
S9Y.org.
S9Y.org.
And S9 being the number 9.
This concludes today's conversations. And again, you can find out more information about LAMPSIG at lampsig.org and Linux Astronomy at linuxastronomy.org. My name is Harold J. Johnson. If you'd like to hear more of my audio blogs, please visit somethingthathappened.com.